great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art, how great thou art, how great thou art.
Hallelujah. Isn't God good? Isn't He great? That is actually one of my very favorite hymns to sing. It's How Great is Our God. I'd like to honor, if you have your Bibles, you may be seated. I'm going to start things a little differently than I typically do. But if you have your Bibles, Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 32 through 40. If you read your Bible, if you're familiar with the Bible, you probably already know what I'm going to talk about. But I'm starting in Hebrews chapter 11. But Hebrews chapter 11, beginning at verse 32. While you're turning, I would just like to give honor to our pastoral leadership. Pastor Roy and Sister Lois, we appreciate them. Of course, Bishop and his leadership here for many years, and Brother Seidel and the entire pastoral leadership team, you're in great hands. It's a great place to be a part of the kingdom of God. So Hebrews 11, verse 32, and I want you to pay attention here while I'm reading, okay? And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and of Samson and Jephthah and David also and Samuel and of the prophets. Now, if you read Hebrews chapter 11, it's known as the faith chapter. And he just goes down and talks about these great men and women of God and their faith and what their faith did through them and what God did through their faith. And verse 33 says, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises. Let me say that again in case you didn't get the first time. They obtained promises. They stopped the mouth of lions. They quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, and turned to flight the armies of aliens. Women received their dead raised to life, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And I want to stop here and point out, because the narrative kind of takes a sharp turn here. Beginning here is all talking about positive things that faith does. Then he kind of turns a corner, and sometimes faith can get you into trouble. If you're going to live a life of faith, you may not always be the most popular person on the block or on the job site. But we need to understand here that our number one goal, our number one priority must be making it to heaven. It must be fulfilling God's will and living for Him at all cost. And others had a trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder or cut in half, they were tempted, they were slain with the sword, they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. In other words, they did not receive the Holy Ghost. They did not receive what God has saved for us in this end time. So the question in reading all of that is this. Does faith work? Does faith work? I'll answer that for you. Faith works if you work your faith. All these men and women, they accomplished great things. They overcame great obstacles. But they had to utilize their faith. Faith is not just some abstract thing. Faith is a tool that God uses us, that God gave us to use to overcome. Faith works if you will work your faith. We need to understand here that the Bible is a timeless, universal book. It was written to men and women of all times, locations, ethnicities, political circumstances, and background. Now, the second half of the text I started with, I just included that. I'm not really going to talk about that tonight because really most of that doesn't affect us. There's none of us that have, I don't think here, that have ever had to worry about being cut in half or killed with a sword for being a Christian. So a lot of this doesn't necessarily apply to us right now. I hope it never does. Having said that, we have brothers and sisters right now in this world that does apply to. Each of my three daughters have been privileged the last few years to spend some time on the mission field. In fact, Sarah just got back Monday night from El Salvador. Spent 10 days there on a missions trip. And as a whole, there were times when they had to be off the street by a certain time. It wasn't safe to be out. There were times when church was shut down at 6 o'clock. They'd give an altar call. It'd be, I don't know, 10-2 or 5-6 or whatever, 5:45, and they'd say, okay, we've got 5-10 minutes here. If you need the Holy Ghost, come up front. And everyone that came up front got the Holy Ghost because they had to be out of there by 6 o'clock because it wasn't safe to be out after that. My wife experienced that many years ago in Venezuela. The local pastors came through and they were having a time. But the local pastors came through and said, you got to go. Found out later when the missionary was here just a couple of years ago, when the Burtons were here, that the gangs had planned to rob the Americans. If you don't understand it by the world, you're all filthy rich. You don't feel that way, maybe living here, but you're all filthy rich compared to the vast majority of the world standards. And they were going to rob the Americans. And my wife remembers just being scared, being terrified. They were praying. They were told not to look at anybody, keep together. No girl off by themselves. They just got to the bus and got out of there. Found out years later from the missionaries that the local pastor, the leader of the local gang, had contacted the local pastor and said, you don't play fair. What do you mean? Well, you called out the army. Come to find out that the gang that was going to rob them, my wife's group, they saw soldiers with machine guns on top of all the buildings. And they were scared off because they called the army, and there's no army there except for the army of the Lord. See, you never know where your faith will take you and what God will do through your faith. But that's why we need to hold on to our faith. There are times my daughters have had to be escorted by armed guards, that they live behind gates and fences with guards patrolling the neighborhood. Anybody here in Madison live in a neighborhood like that? No, I didn't think so. One of my daughters was in a place in a situation where men from a neighboring country had been reported by the neighbors, reported to the authorities by their neighbors for preaching Jesus. They were witnessing to people. It was a Muslim country, and they had to run for their lives. They came to the country where my daughter was and was mentored and kind of trained by the missionary there until such a time as it was safe to go back to their home country and resume their work there. Why am I being vague? because it's not safe for me to mention what country they were. Those are my brothers and my sisters. They could be killed. The missionaries could be in trouble for helping them out. A lot of things we take for granted. I just want you to know that. But that's not the gist of my message tonight. I just want you to be aware of that. What is faith? What is faith? I'm talking tonight about having a working faith. Not just some abstract idea, but a working faith. Faith is in Scripture, is very unique. It is listed as being a fruit of the Spirit, or one of the things when God fills us with the Spirit and comes to live inside of us, that we should bear fruit. It should be part of who we become. We should be men and women, of faith. But it is also listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 as being a gift of the Holy Spirit. It is a fruit of the Spirit, and it is also a gift of the Spirit, because sometimes we need a supernatural level of faith. See, I don't even know if you can categorize it, but I think Scripture kind of does here. There's this kind of an everyday faith that gets us by, but there are some times and circumstances where we need a supernatural faith to overcome the obstacle. But I don't believe you just jump into that supernatural faith. I think God takes the faith that He has given us and He kind of gives it a supernatural booster. You don't just all of a sudden, you have to be a man or woman of faith. You have to exercise the faith that you have. Now, what is faith? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 describes it, gives us the classic Bible definition. Says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. Let's leave that up there. In fact, I'd just like to apologize. I think it's Sister Jennifer back there in the overhead. I want to apologize in advance because you're going to get a workout tonight. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. See, if you have all the answers, it's not faith. If you got control of the circumstances and situation, that's not faith. Faith is something that you're hoping for. You don't have it. You're just hoping you get it. You can't see it. If you can see it, it's not faith. It's not faith if you can do all underneath your own power. If you can accomplish your dream, then you don't need faith to do it. See, and that is why I believe we should be thankful when we have a reason to pray. Somebody told me that many years ago, and I was just a young Christian, and Brother Grant, I'll be honest, I thought that was the dumbest thing I ever heard. But I've learned since then I ought to be thankful. And when I have a situation comes against me that drives me to my knees, that I cannot overcome, that I can't get around it, that I can't figure out or engineer a way to overcome it, I need to be thankful that God has given me a reason to seek His face. Because, to be honest with you, it's on those times that we grow. I have in the last few years developed just a love for the mountains, been able to do some hiking in the mountains. I love hiking in the mountains. I love getting up there and break up above the tree line and get up and you can just see forever, but nothing grows up there. If you want to grow, you got to get down in the valley. The same is true spiritually. You know, I love going to camp and I love listening to great preaching, but you don't really grow up there. You grow when you got to get down in the valley and you got to use what you've learned. That's when we grow. See, we need to be grateful when our only recourse is to seek the face of God. You understand that an Israelite could have kept the law without utilizing any faith? In fact, they did. That was the Pharisees' problem. That's part of the reason they missed Jesus when He showed up. Because they had religion by a yardstick. You do this, you do this, you do this, you do this. just to bring it down to home, it really doesn't take a whole lot of faith to attend Calvary Gospel Church. Well, you come in here, we got great music, we got great preaching. I thought I'd at least get an amen from my wife on that one. But typically, we have good preaching. We got good friends. Me and my best friends in the whole world attend this church. I love coming to this place. This is like home away from home for me. It doesn't take me a lot of faith to show up here. I love this place. I love you people. And you could conceivably attend Calvary Gospel Church purely for the entertainment value. Am I right? But see, there are some things that don't make sense to the natural man, and that's where faith comes in. You know, giving doesn't really make any sense. How can, 90% of my income actually have more buying power than the whole thing? Doesn't really make any mathematical sense, except when you start operating in God's blessing. And you realize how things work and how God blesses you, then after a while, that makes sense. Dressing and acting and living holy doesn't really make any sense to the natural man until you live in it and you walk in it. When my wife and I were first married, the church we were attending just came apart at the seams. And it came apart at the seams. Most people couldn't see it. But when they drop the holiness standards, when you drop holiness, you allow all kinds of lies and delusionment to come in. And things just fell apart. I'm thankful for Brother Grant and Calvary Gospel Church. I may not be saved if it wasn't for Brother Grant and Calvary Gospel Church taking us under our wing and helping us get through. But you see, the natural man, some of this stuff doesn't really make sense. But we do it by faith. We do it because the Bible says to do it. And we reap the benefits. I find in Scripture three levels of faith. First level is no faith. I find this in Mark chapter 4, verses 38 through 40. Jesus was the disciples, they were all on the ship and they were out at sea, and the storm came up and it's blowing and the ship is rocking and they're scared to death. Understand, all these seasoned fishermen, these sailors, this was their life, this is what they knew. All of a sudden they found themselves in a situation that they should have had control of, but they didn't. And they were terrified. And Jesus was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they awake him and said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace be still. Knock it off. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? See, maybe you're going through a storm right now, and God seems just uncaring, disinterested. Maybe you're wondering if God's asleep, where God is. Why isn't he answering? Why is God letting me go through this? He doesn't even care about me, Brother Grant. Don't believe that lie. 1 Peter 5:7 says, Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And I just want to take a minute and point out here. In verse 40, he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Fear is the opposite of faith. See, faith says, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but I know it's going to be all right, if not absolutely fantastic, because Jesus Christ is sitting on the throne. I know who holds tomorrow. I know who's got my past. I know it's going to be okay because God is sitting on the throne. But fear says, well, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but it's going to be terrible. It's going to be horrible. Because God doesn't care. Don't believe that lie. God loves you. How do I know that? Because the Bible says so. We're going to get to that. Little faith. Number two, little faith. Three levels of faith. There's no faith, and then there's little faith. Matthew chapter 6, verses 30 to 31 says, wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? See, little faith is worried faith. We believe God cares, but instead of focusing on God and his promises, we're worried about our situation. We're worried about what we're going to do. Our focus, instead of being on God, is on our lacks. What we don't have. Our focus is on what we want. Our focus is on our problems. See, the same answer was given to Peter. Peter walked out in the water to go to Jesus. And Peter gets a lot of knocks because he doubted, but hey, nobody else but Peter and Jesus ever walked on water. And Peter stepped out of the boat and he was walking to Jesus, but when he got his eyes off Jesus, and he started looking at his situation. He saw that the wind was blowing and that was boisterous and there were waves coming. He began to sink. And immediately, see, Jesus cared, but immediately Jesus reached out his hand and he caught him. And he said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Peter got distracted by his problem and began to sink. And when we get our eyes off of Jesus, we begin to sink. Don't live a life of little faith. Don't live a life of no faith. Live a life of great faith. Matthew chapter 8. Verses 5 and 8. And Jesus was entered into Capernaum. There came to him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of a palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said, well, I'll come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. He goes on the next verse and he kind of talks about, hey, I'm a man under authority. I know how this works. I speak and stuff happens. Well, you're God. If I can speak and stuff happens, surely if you speak, things are going to happen. And verse 10, Jesus, and I love this. I wish God could look at me like this, okay? I know he doesn't, but I wish he could, because Jesus looked at him and it says he marveled. He's like, oh, man. And he said, I've never seen faith. I have not found such great faith, no, not in Israel. He said, I've never seen faith that good. Why? What happened? He said, great faith says, speak the word, Jesus. And it's going to be okay. Great faith says, you don't need to come to my house. I don't need to see a demonstration. Your word is all the evidence that I need. We never even get this centurion's name. See, the situation doesn't need to look differently. I don't need to feel differently. I don't care what the circumstances look like. If God said it, if the Word said it, that's it. We can take it to the bank. That's great faith. Jesus, just speak the Word. Jesus, just speak the word, and it's good enough for me. I don't know about you, but I want to live a life of great faith. Let me put it to you this way. The last time you put gas in your car, are you sure it was gas? Did you test it? Did you ask and go inside? Now, is this really gas I'm getting? You're sure it's not buttermilk or apple juice or something else? If you pay the little extra to get the top tier, you know, the premium gasoline, how do you know you got what you paid for? How do you know it's all just not coming out of the same tank underground? Do you see the tank? No, you paid for 15 gallons. How do you know you really got 15 gallons and not just 14 gallons? Or you just look at the sticker on the pump and you look at the numbers on the pump and you say, oh, yep, that's what it says. Good for me. Now, do you really have more faith? Because faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Do you really have more faith in the shady-looking guy at the gas station than you do in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Creator of the universe? I'm just trying to be real here tonight. See, how many times over the last few years have we heard from pastor, have we heard from leadership, have we heard from visiting evangelists how God wants to take us to the next level? That we're, as a church and as individuals, we're going to the next level. There will be no next level unless we can trust God for the next level. It's a faith thing. We need to trust God. See, faith works if we work our faith. Understand, faith is not works. Faith and works are two different things, okay? Like I mentioned before, Old Testament Jews, the Pharisees especially, I shouldn't say lump them all together, but the Pharisees, they had religion by the yardstick. They had it all measured out. They had the rules and regulations to go through. But didn't take any faith. But yet there was also men and women in the Old Testament that we read about who had a promise from God and they acted on it. They worked it out by faith. See, faith is not works, but faith is not the absence of works either. True faith demands a response. True faith demands action. If you believe something, if you really believe it, you'll act on it. How do we get faith? And can we get more of it? I'm glad you asked. Romans chapter 12, verse 3 says that God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. All of us. And personally, I think of when we're born, because the Bible says that we are created in the image and after the likeness of God. That when we're born, God puts a little measure of faith inside of us. That's why there's so many, there's just a plethora of different religions in the world. Because we all have a God-sized hole inside of us. And we're not complete. We're not happy. We're not content. And so we'll try and fill it full of all kinds of stuff. And none of it works until you get the real thing. But God gives everyone a measure of faith. God plants a measure of seed and faith in us. But it's up to us to grow it. Now remember, it only takes a mustard seed's worth of faith to get the job done. Sometimes we get to thinking, well, I don't have very much faith. Well, it doesn't take a whole lot. You've got enough. You just need to use what you've got. Now, I wish I had time. Revelation chapter 2 talks about denying the faith. We can deny it. We can forget about it. We can ignore it. Or we can nurture the faith. And we can grow the faith. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, so faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's why we need a preacher. That's why we need a preacher. That's why we need a pastor. That's why we need to read the book. Now, you're probably more spiritual than me, but Bishop, I'm sorry, and I'm sorry to disappoint you, but I'm not spiritual enough to get by from Sunday to Wednesday. I can't get enough on Sunday to get me through to Wednesday. I got to fill up in between there. I leak. I don't know. I'm probably defective. But I got to get a little bit of Bible every day. And I can't get from Wednesday to Sunday. I got to get a little bit every day. Anybody there like me? That you leak? I thought maybe I was the only one. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. See, another thing I want to point out here, we must put our faith in the promises of God. You got to get this, okay? Where do we put our faith? Listen, everybody who gets sick, I mean, unless you're some kind of a hypochondriac who craves attention, most of us that get sick, we want to get healed. The heathen on the street, they want to get healed. They're hoping they can get better. What's the difference? We need to put our faith in the promises of God. See, faith without a promise is just a wish. And a wish won't get the job done. Faith without a promise is just a pipe dream. We need to put our faith in the promise. And let me just tell you, we happen to have plenty of promises here. But sometimes we got to dig them out. Sometimes we got to mine them out. We got to put the time in. We got to work the faith to get the promises. What does the Bible say? See, the Bible is the food that we need to feed our faith. You ever talk to any good bodybuilder, they'll tell you that one of the most important things to building a better body, if you want to call it that, is diet. You are what you eat. That's my problem. My wife makes far too good of cheesecakes, and I just can't seem to not eat them. If she can make cheesecakes that were all protein and no sugar, then maybe I could get rid of this and we can make some progress. But a bodybuilder, if you're talking about, it's all about diet, and that diet revolves around protein. Professional bodybuilders, what do? They drink protein shakes. Usually the first thing in the morning they get up, they drink a protein shake. They live on chicken breasts and eggs, largely. Lean protein. They typically eat every couple hours. In fact, I've read some of these guys, I mean the professional guys, they'll get up at the middle of the night every couple hours and drink a protein shake or something. So they got to keep their protein. They got to feed those muscles. I mean, not only that, but they also limit the... They eat their chicken breast, but without usually tipping no seasoning, no barbecue sauce, because that's just extra calories. So you can eat your chicken breast, but you slather it in barbecue sauce, and you end up looking like me right here. But see, there's discipline. It's not only what you eat, it's what you don't eat. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 says that let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. There are some things we don't need to be messing with. They may not necessarily be bad, they're just slowing us down. They're just hindering our faith. 1 Peter 2:2 says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. You thought I was just making this bodybuilder stuff up. Bible says we need to desire the sincere milk of the word that we may grow thereby. We need to get our spiritual whey protein shake. We need to crave it like a newborn baby. It's been a few years since I've had a newborn baby in my house, but I remember well. When they want to eat, they want to eat now. They don't understand, wait a minute. I want it now. And I'm going to scream until you give it to me. Oh, that we would have a hunger for God's word like that. Nothing else will satisfy me. I need God's word. I need to hear from Jesus. I don't need any of this other garbage. I just need to hear from Jesus. See, most people who struggle with their faith are feeding themselves the wrong type of food. True story. Let me say that again because you might have just tuned me out there. Maybe I'll say it slow. Most people who struggle with their faith struggle because they're feeding themselves the wrong type of food. They're living on spiritual Twinkies and Pop-Tarts. They're getting their nourishment from CNN and ABC and NBC and CBS and FOX. And all those other people. Listen, I'm not saying that watching the news is bad, okay? But listen to me. Sean Hannity isn't going to get you to heaven. He's not going to save your marriage. He's not going to heal your body, all right? God convicted me a long time ago, but I'm going to be honest. Brother Silas, God's convicted me numerous times over the course of my life that if I'm going to spend 30 minutes reading the news, then I better spend at least 31 minutes reading God's Word. See, that's why there's so many spiritual cupcakes walking around. You know, cream puffs, they're just getting steamrolled by the enemy. See, he tried that same junk with Jesus. Jesus just said, hey, Flash, it's written. So the devil tried to twist Scripture around and throw a twisted Scripture at him. And Jesus just, hey, you can't pull that with me. I know the Word. It's written. It's written. It's written. Hey, if it worked for Jesus, it ought to work for us. It's written. It's written. What's the Word say? We need to eat the right stuff. We need to feed our spirit the right stuff. My wife tried to make me promise not to talk about her, but it didn't work. When you go to the doctor, and the doctor's report is something else. What's the Bible say? I tell you what, my wife getting sick has probably been the best thing that's ever happened to me. Because I've learned stuff in Scripture. I don't know how I've read this book through so many times and never saw it. But I didn't see it until I needed to see it. Until I got desperate. And I got hungry. Sometimes, you know, sometimes we also we substitute what other Christians say. Now listen, we need good godly friends, okay? And we need people to come alongside us and encourage us. And there hasn't been anybody from here, but I have been shocked how many Christians we've talked to, just come up to my wife and say, well, you know what? At least you win either way. You talk about the promises of God and what the Bible has to say about healing, their response, well, at least you're not in pain. Well, thanks. Now I got to go home and I got to pray back through. I got to go home and read the scripture and see what the Bible says. But it's been good for me. Because honestly, there have been times in my life where I have been held captive and I have been limited by what other people thought of me and what other people said and other people's opinions. It held me down, it tripped me up, and it discouraged me. But I'm working very hard to get to the point to where the only thing that matters, what does Jesus say? What's the Word of God say? Because the Bible says it's not wise to compare yourselves amongst yourselves. The measuring stick is Jesus Christ. That's who we need to strive to be like. Okay. Where was I? Okay. Sometimes we need a personal trainer. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus knows what it's like to exercise faith. Sometimes we need somebody to show us. And if you want to grow your faith, the flip side, you can eat all the protein you want, but if you don't lift those little muscles, if you don't exercise those little noodle arms, they're not going to grow. Okay? We need to exercise your faith muscle. 1 Timothy 6:12, Paul said, fight the good fight of faith. You've got to exercise that thing. Faith isn't some abstract idea. You need to exercise it. You need to use it. Abraham sacrificed his son Isaac. James chapter 2, verse 22 is talking about. He says, seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by his works was faith made perfect? That by Abraham's works, his faith, he had to work his faith. It wasn't just some vague idea, but he had to work it. God gave him a promise, and he said, you know what? I believe that even if Isaac dies, that God's able to raise him up from the dead. Now, I'll be honest, I don't have faith like that. Maybe you got faith like that, I don't have faith like that. I'd like to have faith like that. My kids hope I don't ever get faith like that. But I'd like to be able to be on that level with God, that no matter what God said, how ridiculous it sounded, that I say, all right, God, I'm good with that. You need to exercise your faith. See, Abraham's faith was made perfect by what he did. He worked his faith out. And sometimes it's just as simple as just standing still while the storm blows. Sometimes that's the hardest thing to do. That's hardest for me. I'm a fixer. I got a problem, I got to fix it. Oftentimes I make a bigger mess out of it before I just step back and say, all right, God, I can't handle this. I need you to do something here, because I tried to fix it and we just made it worse. Second Chronicles 20, verse 17, but you need not fight this battle, set yourself. Stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord. It says, fear not nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. Just got to stand there. You got to stand strong. You got to stand in faith. You got to believe. And watch God do a mighty work. Don't back up. Don't run. Just trust God to work it out. Tell you, the hardest thing for me sometimes has been when, you know, the little gossip machine gets going. And sometimes I know that, you know what, if I could just tell my side of the story, they'd understand, and I wouldn't be such a bad guy anymore. However, I can't tell my side of the story about being a gossip. That's a tough place to be. You just got to stand still and trust God. That's just for pastoral, because that's when I ran into that. People get mad at me about stupid stuff. You don't even know what's going on. But I can't say anything. You've got to trust God to work it out behind the scenes. For therein is the righteousness of God, Romans 1:17, revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So that's another way we go, is we grow from faith to faith. I get through this faith, and I get another one. And I get through that, and I get another one. That's one of the ways that was easy for me to have faith after my wife's diagnosis. Now, I went home and cried for about 2 weeks. Okay? And I understand here, you'll never hear my wife or I say that she has cancer, because we don't believe that. God says something else. We do talk about her being diagnosed. But I begin to think of all the things that God has brought me through. Now, 8.5 years ago, I was dead. And I sat up on that football field, started talking, everybody freaked out. I remember when Rebecca was born, our oldest daughter, and we didn't know if she was going to live. But you know what? She's doing fine. She's doing great. All different, and just little things. I remember driving home from church one night and doing about 60 miles an hour, and about from here to the back of the church, this car pulled out in front of us and realized they made a mistake and slammed on the brakes. But there was an oncoming car coming this way. I had nothing to do but go, Jesus! And somehow, I don't even know how, we're on the other side of that and going, man, we in heaven? I was, man, somehow we made it. I don't even know how we made it. A few years ago, we were up for a graduation party, driving down the road. The road washed out. And we didn't even really, it looked like they had patched it. It's 10 o'clock at night, it's pouring rain. It just looked black until we're like 10 feet away from it. It's like, uh-oh, there's no road there. There's just a big hole. We went across it. Not only blew all four tires, broke all four rims, took the rear axle off the van, ripped it off, and shoved it up inside the fender wells. We're kind of all over both lanes, both shoulders, all over the road. We finally get stopped and slowed down. Just yelling Jesus the whole time. Sauk County, he was actually a detective. When he finally got to us, he gets out, he walks down to the ditch, looks at it, he comes back up with his flashlight, and he walks around the van. This is a detective, okay? He's used to seeing this kind of stuff. He walks around the van, and he's like, you drove over that? I'm like, yes, sir. He's like, how'd you do that? How do you maintain control? I'm not really sure, officer. But I started looking back time and time again, little stuff to big stuff, God's been there. So when we get another situation, it's easy to say, you know what? God's been faithful and faithful and faithful and faithful. He's taken us to faith, 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 to faith. Hey, he's still sitting on the throne. It's easier to trust him now when we've taken small steps of faith along the way And God has proven himself to be faithful in no Jesus amount of time. Okay. You want to answer prayers? Build your faith. Be like David and encourage yourself in the Lord. Matthew chapter 9, verse 29 says, according to your faith, so be it unto you. Matthew 9, 22, and Jesus turned him about and he saw her and said, daughter, be of good comfort. Your faith hath made you whole. Build your faith up. You want an answer to prayer? Build your faith up. What does the Bible say? How do we build our faith up? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. What does the Bible say? I've had to immerse myself so much in Bible, it doesn't matter what the doctor says, if I know what the Bible says. It just pushes everything else out. Mark chapter 11, verse 24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you shall receive them, and you shall have them. Okay, that's what the Bible says. I'm not making that up. When you pray, believe it, and you shall receive it. Now sometimes, Acts chapter 14, verse 9, the Apostle Paul came along a certain man in Lystra who was lame. Been lame his entire life. He had never walked. And the same heard Paul speak, and steadfastly beholding him, and perceived that he had faith to be healed. This is where the gift of the discerning of spirits comes in. But Paul is preaching, this man sitting there, now he had never walked in his entire life. But Paul looked at him and said, you know what? This guy's got the faith to be healed. And God healed him. We need to understand that God does not run on our timetable, though. Hebrews 10, 35 and 36, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For he that hath need of patience, after all you have done the will of God, that you might receive the promise. Understand everything that's going on there. We have to have patience, that after we have done the will of God, after we have worked our faith, we might receive the promise. What's the promise? Just some wish? No, the promise is what God said. I can't tell you how many times I've done counseling. People come in, you know, they want marriage help. Like, well, have you studied the Bible at all? No, why would I do that? Well, how do you expect me to help you? Got some magic pastor dust we sprinkle on them, you know, and everything's going to be all better? You know how I made my marriage work? You got to understand, okay? Every once in a while, I get stuck on stupid. It's happened, okay? I know you wouldn't believe it, nice guy like me, but it has happened. I get into the book. What's the Bible say? What do I need? What does God say I need to do to make this right? If it works for a knucklehead like me, it'll sure work for a nice person like you. Okay? Read the Bible. Read the Bible. What's the promise? Hebrews 6, verses 11 and 12. Now, we desire every one of you to show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope till the end. But be not slothful. Okay, assurance of hope until the end. Don't be slothful. Don't be lazy. Okay, faith isn't lazy. Faith is active. We need to work our faith, but be followers of them through faith and patience, inherit the promises. What promises? The promises of God. How do we know what the promises of God are? Sometimes you just got to dig them out. Now, occasionally, and God's done this to me, he will speak a rhema. What a rhema is that's when God just speaks to you. We heard a message on that last week, a week ago. Sometimes God will speak to you. It happens. But I've heard some people say, they come up with some crazy thing that said, God told me, you know what? I'm pretty sure God didn't tell you that, because I've got scripture to prove otherwise. And the Rhema will never contradict the written word of God. This is the benchmark. This is the standard. Go to the written word. Compare it to the word of God. Now, what promises, okay? Let's stand. Let me wrap this up. Now, I could go through here and I don't know what everybody's situation may be or what struggle you're facing. I know where I'm at, and we're out of time anyways. But let me show you how this works for me. And I'm not going to preach. If you want to hear my message on healing, this could have very easily turned into the same message I preached a few months ago. If you want to listen to that, go listen. I think it's online. But when the doctors told my wife that she had 2 years to live, 2 to 3 years, I was devastated. But when I got in the Word of God, this is what I found. Psalm 103, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. That's just a quick excerpt there. And throughout Scripture, and I preached about it last time, how sickness and disease entered in the Garden of Eden when sin came. And when Jesus took care of sin, he took care of sickness. All throughout Scripture. I talked about that last time, I'm not going to go over that again, but right there, okay? That he healed all our diseases. Let's just look at Matthew. Matthew chapter 4, verse 23. And Jesus went all about Galilee, teaching their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdoms and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those who were possessed by devils, and those who were lunatic, and those who had palsy, and he healed them. End of story. Matthew 9:35. And Jesus went about all the cities and the villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Matthew 12:15. And great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. Matthew 14:14. Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. Matthew 14:34-36. And they were gone over, and they came to Gennesaret, and they brought unto him all who were diseased. And he besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched were made kind of whole, mostly whole. Perfectly whole. She thought the woman with the issue of blood was the only one who ever got in on that. No, somebody probably heard about that and said, well, you don't need to interrupt the guy. You just need to get close enough and just touch him as he walks by. And as many as were touched him were made perfectly whole. John 14:12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Jesus said that. That everything he did, we do, and greater works. And I don't know how we can do greater works than he did. I can't figure out the math on that one, okay? But that's what the Bible says. I don't need to understand it. I just need to believe it. Mark chapter 16, verses 17 and 18, "And these signs will follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." I'm sorry, I just don't have enough faith not to believe that. When I get into digging out all these scriptures and seeing what the Bible has to say, how can I not believe that God's gotten under control? See, I put my faith, my trust in the Word of God. I've got promises here that the works He did, and I just read what kind of works He did, that we do in greater works. That we lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. That's what the Bible says. I'm not making that up. And I'm sorry to poor Jennifer. I gave her a workout back there. But I want you to see this stuff. I'm not making this up. I don't know what your situation may be. That's my situation, okay? If you got a financial situation, boy, I can load you up on scriptures about how God will take care of finances if you'll work your faith. If you got marriage or family problems, friend, oh, I got lots of scriptures because I've been through them. The Word, the Word, the Word, the Word, the Word. What's the book say? What the promises say? What do the promises say? Hebrews 11, verse 6, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is." Well, hey, even the devils believe that, and they're scared to death. I know a lot of people, they say they believe that, and they're not scared at all. They're kind of flipping about the whole thing. But the devils believe there's one God, and they tremble. "But we must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." So we got a promise. Are we diligently seeking God for that promise? Are we passionate about the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much? Or do we pray like we don't care? Hey, I'm a parent, you know, I can ignore a crying baby. Unless it's something real. No, as a parent, I can determine, okay, I hear a cry. Yep, that's one of my kids. Are they hurt or their sister steal their toy? Oh, their sister stole their toy. Ah. Let them work it out. They need to grow up, learn to deal with it. But if they're hurt, then daddy comes running. Because I can tell the difference in the cry. Our Heavenly Father's like that. Do we care? Or are we just whining? Are we passionate? Do we have some skin in the game? Are we working our faith? Are we just being flippant? You might have to work your faith to find the promise. Hallelujah. Let's come. I don't know what your situation may be. We walk by faith, not by sight. I'll be honest with you. When I first got saved, I didn't feel saved. It took me a long time, so I knew the things I'd done. I carried a lot of shame, and I didn't feel saved, but I had to find in Scripture where the Bible says, God forgave me. And I had to work that out. Well, God forgave me. I need to learn to forgive myself. It's because the Bible says so. Hallelujah. It's a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Don't be a doubter. Don't be a doubter. I don't have the answer. I can't see how this, I don't understand how this is going to work out. All right, I got a promise from God. I know what the Bible says. And if God God sent it, I'm going to take it to the bank because I know it's good.
And I give you my life. Give me faith. Trust what you say. That you're good, Jesus. And your love is great. And I'm broken. And I give you my life.
Hallelujah.
I may be weak, but your spirit's strong in me. My flesh may fail, but my
God,
you never
will. Pour your heart out to God. He hears your cry. He sees your faith. Oh, yes, he does. He sees your faith. What is your need tonight? Believe God, and he will supply that need.
Your spirit's strong in me.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, what a great God. Yes, what a great God, what a great God, what a great God.